during the ongoing fight for the heart and soul of America. Broadcasting from deep in the heart of Texas, it's David Knight.
Yeah, you're listening to the music from the Alamo. And now we have a situation where we have a retired Supreme Court justice, an argument for the term limits of justices at every level, but especially the Supreme Court. Justice John Paul Stevens. Hey, John Paul, we have not yet begun to fight. You try to take our Second Amendment. You try to take our liberty, and you will see us fight. It's not about the Second Amendment. It's not even about our guns. The Second Amendment is simply a recognition of a God-given right. Our guns are simply tools that we use to enforce those rights. We'll use any tools we want to enforce our rights. When they came to take away the guns at Concord and Lexington, the king didn't recognize we had any rights. When Santa Anna massacred the people at the Alamo and at Goliad, the people at Gonzales put up a picture of their cannon and said, come and take it. They were coming to take the cannons at Concord and Lexington as well. Now, tyrants don't ever respect our God-given rights. And we don't respect tyrants. And when we have somebody like John Paul Stevens, exhibit A, as to what traitorous creatures these politicians become when they get an uncontrolled dose of power. Yes, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. And if you look at the history of John Paul Stevens and what he turned into, it only took him 8 years to turn into a miserable creature who did everything he could to undermine our basic constitution, let alone our individual rights. But he's done us a big favor. Many of the leftist journalists have said, shut up. Don't tell them that. Don't tell them that we want to take everything. Yeah, we've seen it many times. We saw it, played the clip just the other day, Delaney Tarr, one of the students. A rare moment of candor. I recorded it along with Jakari Jackson, my wife, at a rally here in Austin. For gun control, the mayor said, you keep those signs about banning and confiscating guns. We're not doing that right now, but we're going to come back and do that. Yeah. Occasionally they come out and they show what they're doing, but they also are coming out and showing what they want to do in their legislation. We're going to talk about the ammunition background checks that are being put out, the assault weapon bans that are being put out, the trending amongst the liberals on Twitter, ban this or repeal the Second Amendment. That's what they want to do. We're also going to be talking, however, about the attack on the First Amendment. Why are both of these things happening at the same time? It's because they want to control you. They want to take away your liberty. That means that they have to take away your ability to communicate. That means that they have to take away your ability to shoot. And it means that they also have to take away your ability to move. Remember the military, they understand that. They said to control a people, you have to control the way they move. Number one, the way they move. Number two, the way they communicate. Number three, the way they shoot. Or stopping all three of those, not just controlling the way that they shoot. But you stop their movement, their communication, their ability to shoot, and you control those people. We're going to be talking to Eric Peters today, Eric Peters Autos, because that is the ignored part of the tyranny. Yes, we understand that they are looking at everything that we're doing. People are starting to understand that Facebook has been a surveillance tool for quite some time. And the guy who exposed it said, the thing that woke me up was President Trump doing this. He didn't care when it was somebody that he liked politically doing it. And let me ask you, conservatives, do you care if a Republican president infringes on your liberty? It took a president that the Democrats didn't like to wake up some of the people about the abuses of Facebook. Are you giving a pass to a president who is taking away your liberties and some very vital issues because of your blind loyalty to a team or an individual? It's not about people, it's about liberty. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
from the InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
We got a lot of subjects we need to cover today, and I'm going to get beyond the gun control stuff. I know I spent a great deal of time on it this week because it is very important. But there are other ways that they're shutting down our liberty as well. Because it's not about the guns. It's not about Second Amendment, as I mentioned at the top of the hour. It is about our liberty. It is about our freedom. Our military knows that in order to control people, you have to control the way they move, limit their movement, limit their communications, and stop their ability to shoot. Move, communicate, shoot. You stop those things, you stop the people, you control them completely. And of course, we see what's happening right now with the attacks on the First Amendment. We've got Google coming out, announcing their partnership with the big establishment media. People that we always called, we had so many different terms for them, I can't even remember all of them now. We called them prostitute, we called them the Mockingbird media after Operation Mockingbird of the CIA. Then we started calling them fake news, and then President Trump started calling them fake news. And then that stuck. Now they have adopted that, and they're calling anybody who is not a part of the inner circle, the elite cabal, anybody else is fake news. And that's what Google and Twitter and others are doing, Facebook. Finally, we've had some liberals wake up to the tyranny of Facebook. This guy who became the whistleblower said, the thing that woke me up was to see President Trump get elected and the fact that he was possibly using some of this data to get elected. Well, you didn't have a problem with it when it was Obama. And as I said at the top of the hour, it's about liberty. And conservatives, you better not throw away liberty because of your blind loyalty to a party or a person like the Democrats did. They threw this stuff away. They still don't care that Obama used this. Used it to a far greater extent than even the accusations against Cambridge Analytica. But I'm glad that they've finally woken up to the infringement on their liberty, even if they're not really concerned about government infringement on their liberty, just the corporations. But of course, it's becoming increasingly difficult to distinguish corporations from the government, especially when it comes to Google, Facebook, and Twitter, isn't it? Those are the crony surrogates of censorship. And so we have to look at what is happening right now. It is a full frontal attack on both the First and the Second Amendment, because they want to stop your communication. They want to stop your ability to shoot. But what most people are not looking at, and this is why I keep harping on what is happening to our transportation, they want to control your ability to move. Joining us later in the program is going to be Eric Peters of Eric Peters Auto. He not only looks at cars, but he also looks at liberty. Folks, this is not about cars. This is not about guns. This is not about your cell phone. This is about liberty, and you better understand this is about liberty. You're not marching for your guns. You're not marching for the Second Amendment. You're not marching for the First Amendment. You're marching for your liberty. And if you're marching for anything else, you're marching for the wrong thing. You're not marching for a party. You're not marching for a politician. And when we look at John Paul Stevens, this traitorous political whore, who for years has been corrupted by power. This is a guy who was appointed in 1970 to the Supreme Court by Gerald Ford. He'd been appointed 5 years earlier by Richard Nixon, and then to a federal bench, and then he was put on the Supreme Court by Gerald Ford. For the first 8 years, he was a conservative, then gradually started to move moderate. By 1978, he was recognized by everyone as a liberal. By 2003, John Paul Stevens, in a measurement that is an independent metric that is done against with the votes of the Supreme Court, he was measured as the most liberal Supreme Court justice on the bench. Yet 2 years later, in 2005, Gerald Ford said he was very proud of his appointment. Of course he would be. He's a Rockefeller Republican. This is why you don't back a party. You don't back a person. Gerald Ford might have been a nice guy. I don't know. I don't care. He did things to undermine our basic liberties. And one of the things that he did was this judge. But you look at that 8 year period where he made the transition from conservative to liberal. I think that'd be a good period of time to have a term limit for Supreme Court justices and for judges as well, right? Look, political power And politicians are like fish. They start to stink after a very short period of time. Or as many people as they're like babies. And you got to change them for the same reason. Frequently. But let's put a term limit on this. This whole idea that they should be in there for life, that's a nonsense idea. The Constitution isn't right about everything. They're right about the Second Amendment. They're not right about the lifetime appointments of judges. I guess that's in the Constitution. I don't know where that comes from. Maybe it's not even in the Constitution. So somebody will look that up and let me know one way or the other. I'm sure I'll get plenty of comments to correct me on that. Wherever that nonsensical idea came from, and whether it even came from the founders, I don't really care. They weren't right about everything. But they did understand human nature. Perhaps not enough. They're very concerned that we would not have a permanent standing army. And Justice, former Justice, I just can't even bring myself to call him Justice. Let's just say this old fossil, John Paul Stevens, said that it was originally about making sure we didn't have a standing army, but we don't have to worry about that anymore. Oh, really? We don't? You don't think we have to worry about a standing army? We have the most powerful standing army in the world. Bigger than the next several combined. And then we have, on top of that, a militarized police force that, if it was counted and numbered as an army, would be the number two army after the U.S. Army, or the U.S. Armed Forces, I should say. Don't tell me we don't have a standing army. We have two of the world's largest standing armies right here in America. We need an armed citizenry to keep them in check more than ever. And just like the Cold War, where we had the policy of mutual assured destruction, you arm yourself, you prepare yourself, you create these deterrents so that you don't have a war, so that you don't have mass slaughter, so that you don't have they're telling me Article 3 says that judges are appointed for life. So it was a mistake by the founders. Thank you, guys. That's the cruise right on top of that. Thanks. So Article 3. It is in the Constitution. So let's amend that part of it. And let's also make it easier to impeach these people, because it may not take them 4 years or 8 years or 10 years or whatever we should limit this to. It may not take them that long to go off the rails. Matter of fact, some of these people are already appointed. They're already anti-constitution liberals when they get appointed, aren't they? It's funny how the people that are appointed by Obama and by Clinton and by Carter and so forth, all these Democrats, when they appoint people to the Supreme Court, you know exactly what you're going to get. And they come in as liberal and they stay as liberal. Socialists, communists, social engineers. But when the Republicans appoint people, it's like, well, okay, we don't know what this person's going to turn into. And usually they turn into something like John Paul Stevens. So what did he say? He said, rarely in my lifetime have I seen the type of civil engagement of school children. Let's play MSNBC and let's destroy this idea that this is about school children. Here's a clip from MSNBC where they actually counted, did a demographic research of this. Go ahead.
Yeah. Talk about the makeup of this crowd in the protests this weekend. Who was there? How many first timers? And what impact do you think it's going to have in the long run in American politics?
Well, these are great questions, Joe. I mean, first and foremost, I think it's important to note here that while young people mobilize people to participate, what's really interesting is that less than 10% of the people in the crowd were actually under the age of 18. So that's 90% of the people there who actually can vote today. Most, you know, in addition to that, I think what's really important is
she spends that in an interesting way.
It turned out over a quarter of the people who had never participated in a protest before. So these are people who are mobilizing around the issue potentially.
Okay, let's hold it there.
And finally,
let's not talk about the fact that this is a lie, that this is a crusade of school children. That's what John Paul Stevens says in his very first sentence. Rarely have I seen the type of civic engagement of school children. It's not that at all. We'll have more truth bombs when we come back. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. Let's take a look at the arguments made by this former Supreme Court justice and the very fact that we have somebody who served on the Supreme Court who actively wanted to twist and lie about the text and its intent is a very cautionary tale. And so we need to take a look at what he's doing because, again, even at 97 and retired, he is still lying about the Constitution just like he did when he was sitting on the Supreme Court. So he came out, he says, well, this is the first time, rarely in my lifetime, he said, have I seen the type of civic engagement school children and their supporters demonstrated in Washington. And we just played for you that clip from MSNBC admitting that, oh, look, only 10% of these people were school kids. 90% of them could vote, they said. That's the way they're putting it. The whole thing is an AstroTurf facade, trying to pretend this is a grassroots movement by children when it was funded by millions and millions of dollars by big Hollywood, big media, big government, subsidizing their travel, creating, promoting it with some of the biggest PR firms in New York and Hollywood. What a phony thing this is. And now we've got phony arguments to repeal the Second Amendment from John Paul Stevens. He says it reveals broad public support for legislation. No, actually, you have NBC out there trying to convince everybody that it was 800,000 people. And then they came back and said, well, 800,000 people registered to vote at that event. And then they came back and said, well, no, that's not actually true. But 800,000 people showed up. And then you had CBS News come out and said, no, it was 200,000. And we had this done by a group that is set up to count crowds scientifically, not what you would hope they would be, not what you want it to be. Because I said, hey, we hope to have 500,000 people. So NBC comes out and says, look, they exceeded it. It's wildly popular, just like John Paul Stevens is lying about this. Broad public support. No, they didn't get 800,000. They didn't get even their hoped for 500,000. They got 40% of what they'd hoped for after they had done everything to provide free transportation subsidy and all the publicity and Hollywood stars throwing bouquets at these people, celebrating them like conquering heroes coming back for a Roman tribute. No, they only got 200,000. Plus or minus 15%, according to them. All right, but let's take a look at his arguments. He goes on to say, this is a clear sign to lawmakers that they need to enact legislation prohibiting civilian ownership of semi-automatic weapons. He's not saying assault weapons. He knows what he's talking about. He wants to come after semi-automatic weapons. Well, that's basically everything, isn't it? I mean, a semi-automatic pistol or a rifle is simply something that every time you pull the trigger, it fires another bullet. Are we going to take away even the guns that that John Wayne had? I mean, you know, they had Western-style revolvers that would fire a bullet every time you pull the trigger. Are we going to go back that far? Are we going to have a situation where you have to cock it manually each time you shoot? Or maybe, better yet, let's go back to muzzle-loading muskets, which is what they put in their picture. When they contrast the weapons that were around at the time of the Revolutionary War, the time the Constitution was written, they put up a picture of a black powder musket, and they called it a black powder rifle. But yeah, they would like to have us using muzzle loaders. I think that's where they would like to go. And then he also says, increasing the minimum wage to buy a gun from 18 to 21 years old. As I've said many times, let's increase the age for voting then. Because voting is at least as dangerous as having a gun. I would say more dangerous. And as a matter of fact, Representative Stephen King from Iowa said the same thing. He says, if these teenagers think people aren't responsible enough to own guns until the age of 21, then they ought to be willing to wait until 21 before they vote. And boy, did he get a lot of hate for that. Oh, you don't dare. Don't dare bully these teenagers. You know, interesting corollary to this, and I'll get to this in a minute. The North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, went to China, actually did go to China. We talked about him going on a SEAL train and whether this is really happening and how that reminded me of the SEAL train that the German central bankers put Vladimir Lenin on and gave him $10 million, put him on a SEAL train from Switzerland to Russia to start the Russian Revolution. Well, Kim Jong-un went on a SEAL train to go visit his master in China. And as people in China were talking about it, they were also mocking him, and they called him Fat the Third, I think was what they called Fatty the Third. Fatty the Third is what they were calling him in China. And the Chinese censorship there, because, you know, you don't have any First Amendment rights in China, they banned the word fatty. Remember when he was in the Twitter wars with President Trump, and President Trump nuked him in the Twitter wars? He called President Trump something like old and senile or something. President Trump said, I think that's very unfair. I would never call him short and fat. And, of course, you won't be calling him that in China because they've now enacted their censorship. And even though they have this authoritarian censorship in China, the people have a wicked sense of humor. Fatty the Third. I think that's a great title for this guy because he's the third fat little dictator in a row. But I guess what they should have done, they should have accused these people and banned them for life, you know, as being taken away their social credits, which is what they do in China. So you can't travel. You can't get certain jobs and so forth. And they could ban them for harassing a dictator. Yeah, that poor little dictator. He's being bullied and harassed by people on Twitter, which is exactly what you see them doing to protect people like David Hogg. These little wannabe dictators. And if they enter the public arena and start lecturing us and start trying to take away our liberty and we have something to say about it, then we're bullying and harassing them just like we're bullying and harassing Fatty the Third. So we'll stick to that. Anyway, back to John Paul Stevens. The demonstrators should seek more effective and lasting reform than just these measures of banning and prohibiting semi-automatic weapons from private civilian ownership and raising the age of anybody to buy a gun. So I don't know what guns there's left to buy if you prohibit civilian ownership of semi-automatic weapons. They said, but the demonstrators should seek a more effective and more lasting reform. They should demand a repeal of the Second Amendment. No, we should demand impeachment processes be liberalized for these federal judges and term limits to boot. He said, concerned that a national standing army might pose a threat to the security of the separate states led to the adoption of the amendment. This is a rare piece of truth from this justice. He knows exactly what he's talking about. And of course, one of the reasons that he starts with this is because he opposed the Supreme Court decision in 2008 that recognized what is really in the text, that they had jumped through all kinds of hoops and twisted the language into all kinds of pretzel-like distortions to try to avoid the fact that the right to keep and bear arms is a right of the people. See, we don't need a Supreme Court to interpret this for us. It's not like it's written in Spanish or Russian or Chinese. It's written in English. I can read it. You can read it. We understand what it says. And whether or not the Supreme Court wants to commit a fraud on the American people or not is another question. We'll be right back. Stay with us. John Paul Stevens, former Supreme Court Justice, is going off the rails on a crazy train. And I want to break down a little bit of what he has to say, and then I want to talk to you about what is actually being proposed by Democrats and the way the public is reacting to this. Because, folks, this is real. This is real. This is what these people are coming for. They are coming after our liberties, I point out. They're not coming after our guns. They're not coming after the Second Amendment. They're coming after our liberty. They're not coming after our cell phones or our websites or our speech even. They're coming after our liberty. And they're not coming after our automobiles and our private ownership. They're coming after our liberty to move about freely. We're going to be talking to Eric Peters later in the show as well about that. They're coming after all three. They want to control and stop our movement, our communication, and our ability to shoot. This is a planned military strategy to control us. You better wake up to all three parts of this, not just the obvious ones about speech and communication. There is no amendment that protects our ability to move. That is the one that nobody is paying any attention to. And that is the one that, quite frankly, I think is in the most jeopardy, because we don't have a constitutional amendment. But Justice John Paul Stevens, who has studied the Constitution as a Supreme Court justice, and he has worked very diligently to undermine it in every way that he can. And now he's talking about repeal of it. And I want to go through the arguments that he makes, because we need to be able to refute these arguments. So he starts out by saying, the concern that a national standing army might pose a threat to the security of the separate states led to the adoption of that amendment. Well, not just to the security of the separate states, but to the security of the individual. Because government was created to protect individuals. We forgot about that, because they've turned it upside down, haven't they? But he goes, today that concern is a relic of the 18th century. Really? Really? We have never had a more heavily armed, a larger standing military, as I pointed out earlier. We have the largest standing army, permanent army, of anybody in the world. Nobody in history has had a standing army that is the size and the capability of the American military. And then in addition to that, the next largest army in the world is the militarized police that we have in this country. We have two of the world's largest standing militaries here in the United States. That's why American citizens need the right to keep and bear arms more than any other people on earth. Everybody says, nobody else has anything like the Second Amendment. And it's like, you better keep that Second Amendment, because you're going to need it. It's an effective deterrent. Hope we never have to use it. Hope we never have to have a situation where we get surrounded like the people in the Warsaw Ghetto did, where we get surrounded by superior military force, multiple panzer divisions and so forth. I hope we never have to have a situation where we have to get a hammer and kill a soldier to take his gun, and then use that gun to take other guns from other soldiers, and then hold off that panzer division for months until they burn it to the ground. Yeah, you can use small arms very effectively. That's why they want to take them from us. But let's talk about his other ridiculous arguments. He says, well, that, you know, the danger of a standing army and boots on the ground, right? We know that. We know we have military superiority in the air. We can come in, we can bomb a place into the dust, but we cannot really say that we have conquered that area and have it under the control of the American military until we put boots on the ground. Or in another word, standing army. That standing army is standing on the ground, standing on people's throats. That is a tool of oppression. And as Madison warned us, the instruments to fight tyrants abroad become instruments of oppression at home. For over 200 years, says John Paul Stevens, it was understood uniformly as not placing any limit on either federal or state authority to enact gun control legislation. Absolutely a lie. Absolutely a lie. And he talks about in 1939, the Supreme Court unanimously held that Congress could prohibit the possession of sawed-off shotguns because that weapon had no reasonable relation to the preservation or efficiency of a well-regulated militia. So when he says for over 200 years, yeah, nobody had made any infringements upon the Second Amendment until 1939, because that's what we're talking about here. What he said, everybody uniformly understood that there was no limit on our authority to enact gun control legislation. That's an absolute lie. And it's not true at all. You had the federal limitation on this. And of course, there was a division of power. You had people at the local level. You even had, remember The Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood? You had the little bully sheriff played by Gene Hackman. I think it was Little Bill. That's what he called him. Little Bill. It's kind of like Wyatt Earp, some of these other guys, and the other sheriffs in town. Look, the sheriff is the local law enforcement, not the state government, not the federal government. And you could get a little dictator with a big head and a little short guy, little fatty, and he could take guns from people. That happened. Happened even during the West. Those types of people were typically despised. If they weren't totally corrupt, they would get voted out. But the Second Amendment is about what the federal government can do. They cannot infringe. And they never attempted to do it until 1939. And that case with the sawed-off shotgun, they actually argued that they could prohibit sawed-off shotguns because it wasn't a military weapon. Well, that was a lie. So to say that the federal government, everybody recognized that they could pass any laws at any level, that was not true. That was not true. And the first time they did it based upon a lie, saying sawed-off shotguns were never a military weapon. Well, they had been used as military weapons. They'd been used in World War I at that point in time. They'd been used in the Civil War. Nathan Bedford Forrest and his cavalry said, I'm not going to use a sword. He equipped his guys with sawed-off shotguns for cavalry charges. That was a lot more effective than a sword. So it's well known that it had been used as a weapon in the Civil War. It had been used as a military weapon during World War I and so forth. Sawed-off shotgun, they lied about that. As a matter of fact, that case that went to the Supreme Court in 1939, they had set up an individual. They wanted to make a test case of this. The individual died before it went to court, but they still went ahead with the case anyway. And there was nobody arguing the other side in the court case, essentially. So again, he lies about every single aspect of this. And he says, from 1969 to 1986, no judge, federal or state, as far as I'm aware, expressed any doubt as to the limited coverage of the Second Amendment. Then he says the National Rifle Association disagreed with that position, and they began their campaign claiming federal regulation of firearms curtailed Second Amendment rights. And Chief Justice Berger, said this is one of the greatest pieces of fraud. I repeat the word fraud on the American public by any special interest group I've ever seen in my lifetime. No, let me tell you what the big fraud is. The big fraud was what these federal judges and Supreme Court judges did in the middle of the 20th century. To take away what was clearly a right of the people that should not be infringed in any way, shape, or form. They were the traitors. They were the fraud. They were the political whores of the system. And it began to be taken back by the NRA. First, the NRA was pretty sheepish about all this stuff. Remember, the NRA used to say, well, it's just about hunting. So go ahead and take our rights. And then they started to grow a backbone, and that's when he gets worried about it. And then he comes up with a 2008 case, District of Columbia versus Heller. This is a situation, by the way, where Heller was a law enforcement officer, and he wanted to be able to carry his gun when he was off duty. And they said, no, you can't do that, not in the District of Columbia. And so he sued, said, that's an individual right, respected under the Constitution. You can't do that. And the Supreme Court agreed with that. And he says, that decision, which I remain convinced was wrong, look, it's a decision, but it's really an opinion. It's an opinion of the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court reverses its opinions regularly. We had an opinion from the Supreme Court that movies were not protected under the First Amendment, and that opinion lasted for 50 years. Supreme Court opinions are like, you know what else that every one of us has. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Yeah, it's one thing after the other. But we got some other subjects to talk about besides the Second Amendment, but that is very important. And it's very important when you have a former Supreme Court justice making the case not so much for the repeal of the Second Amendment as he makes a case for the term limitation of Supreme Court justices and making it easier to impeach people who violate their oath to the Constitution. If he didn't like the Constitution, he shouldn't have taken an oath to it. You don't take an oath to become a Supreme Court justice with a reservation in your mind that, yeah, I'm going to change that. I don't like that. I'm not going to support that. I'm going to do everything I can to undermine it and to repeal it in effect, if not to push for the actual repeal of that. He lied when he took an oath to the Constitution. If you don't like what the American government is about, then don't come to this country. Don't become a Supreme Court justice with the intention that you're going to change it. That's not the purpose of the Supreme Court, to change the Constitution. They're supposed to act as referees, calling strikes and balls and fouls. And yet they're the ones who are creating the fouls here. So if you don't want to be a referee, don't become a judge. Don't become a judge because you're going to override the president on his lawfully delegated powers to protect the border. That's what these lower court judges are doing. That's why they need to be impeached. We need to have some changes made to the Constitution to allow us to impeach these guys, to take away their lifetime appointments. Especially when you have somebody come in with the intention that he is going to alter the Constitution, as this dishonest traitor did. All right, let's talk real quickly before we go back to this and finish up on this subject. The products that we sell here at InfoWarsStore.com are what support our program here, and it's what keeps us independent. And we have a couple of specials right now, a couple of sales at InfoWarsStore.com that I want to tell you about. We have CellForce, 50% off. The Real Red Pill, 50% off. And you know, when I talk about CellForce, again, this is a product that helps the health of your DNA by protecting the length of the end caps on your DNA, the telomeres. Very easy to determine what your natural lifespan is by looking at the length of your telomeres. Once those things disappear, and they typically disappear at a regular rate, once they disappear, your DNA starts to unravel. You start to get cancer, many other things. That's your natural lifespan. There's been many instances of this in the news lately. We had the case of the Amish people who typically lived about 10 years longer than some of the people in their own community or some of the people outside of their community. And they started looking at it. They said, hell, they start out with longer telomeres. Well, you can do things to help the health of your telomere, your telomeres on your DNA. CellForce has BioPQQ in it. It's very effective at protecting the health of your telomeres. You can look at the studies. We have, there's about 160, 70 different studies, I think, that are referenced. And of course, you can do your own research. There's information about these products at InfoWarsStore.com. CellForce, 50% off. We also have BrainForce Plus and the Real Red Pill Mind and Body Challenge. You can get BrainForce Plus and the Real Red Pill. You can get those both for 50% off. And we have Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle, 33% off. Our newest product in the Super Blue line, products that are dental products. But, of course, this Immune Gargle can also be used not just for oral use, but also for hand use. And the Nano Silver is very effective as an antibacteria, antiviral issue, the Nano Silver. Do your own research on that as well. And finally, Myco ZX Plus, 50% off. Reformulated Myco ZX. So take a look at the products we have at InfoWarsStore.com that supports this program. Let's finish up on this traitor. The last argument that he makes is that in terms of repealing the Second Amendment, he said it would eliminate the only legal rule that protects sellers of firearms in the United States. And that's true. That's true. It doesn't take away our God-given right. And we will fight for our God-given right. You know, there was no legal rule for the people who created this country to use their firearms to get their freedom. But they used it anyway because they had a God-given right for that. So we don't want bloodshed. So don't try to change this, liberals. Don't try to. Don't do that. Don't start a war. Don't start a nuclear war. Let's just have this effective deterrence that we have here. But he says it's the only rule that protects sellers of the firearms of the United States, and it would make our school children safer than they have been since 2008. Why 2008? Well, that, in his mind, is when everything went south. That was the District of Columbia versus Heller, where they affirmed the fact that, yes, it is an individual right of the people. It is not a collective right. There's no such thing as collective rights. A collective right is a fiction that is used by people who want to take away your individual rights. All rights are individual, or are they not rights at all? And if he wants to go back to 2008 and say that it's some Supreme Court decision that recognizes this as an individual right, and that was what started all the school shootings, not even the liberals have made that argument. Not even the liberals have said, oh, yeah, everything was fine. We didn't have any school shootings until 2008. Well, that's not true, is it? And we can talk about what has caused this. And nobody wants to talk about SSRIs. Nobody wants to talk about antidepressants. Nobody wants to talk about many other contributing factors. But well before 2008, we didn't have dangerous schools. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we had kids who were taking guns to school, and they were shooting guns at school, and they were using guns, learning how to use guns responsibly and safely at school. And we didn't have these types of shootings. So it wasn't some Supreme Court decision that happened in 2008. I think that we ought to, at the very least, take away this traitor, this oath breaker's lucrative pension. Who's going to be the congressman who's going to propose that? Who's going to be the congressman who's going to step up and say, this guy is a traitor? This guy has despised the Constitution since before he took the oath because he's worked to undermine it ever since. And now he is out there trying to undermine our Constitution. Let's not give a pension to this traitorous scum, John Paul Stevens. President Trump, fortunately, tweeted out today, in all uppercase, the Second Amendment will never be repealed. And then he said, as much as Democrats would like to see this happen, and despite the words yesterday of former Supreme Court Justice Stevens, no way, he says. We need more Republicans in 2018 and must always hold the Supreme Court. Yes. A repeal of the Second Amendment would not eliminate God-given rights. We look at the NRA, and the NRA has been good sometimes on this, sometimes they've been bad. They are the most powerful organization to defend our individual rights by strength of their numbers. But sometimes, because they want to be the preeminent organization, they will compromise in order to win. And one of the people that will not compromise, one of the organizations that will not compromise, is Gun Owners of America. They've never compromised on that. Eric Pratt, who is executive director of Gun Owners of America, and there are other good gun owners organizations too. There's Gun Owners, National Association of Gun Rights, NAGR, but also the Gun Owners of America. Pratt said, that is assuming a pre-existing right, which now cannot be infringed in any way by the civil government. He said, the founders recognize the right to self-defense as a God-given right. He says, so defense of life, just the way to talk about the fact that we have life and liberty are the two rights that are endowed by God, as I pointed out yesterday. Thomas Jefferson said, the God that gave us life gave us liberty at the same time. The hand of force can destroy but cannot disjoin them. In other words, you can take my life. You can take my liberty. But I don't have life without liberty. He said, so the defense of life just flows naturally out of that. There's no question when you go through the statements of the founders that they refer to the laws of nature and of nature's God. Because, you know, when you sacrifice your liberty, you can't protect your rights, your life. You can't protect your property rights. To that extent, you become a slave. Slaves don't have any rights, and they don't have any way to protect their property or their life or anything else. You don't get security when you sacrifice liberty. That's something that people never understand. But the repeal of the Second Amendment is now trending on Twitter, and you have these kind of idiotic statements being made. This guy, Nick Jack Pappas, article by Breitbart, he's quoted saying, Second Amendment says people have the right to a well-regulated militia. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It says they have the right to keep and bear arms. Don't get confused, folks, about what this is about. He said, gun violence in this country proves that we aren't well-regulated. In other words, we need more regulations and laws. This is the kind of foggy thinking that is exploited by these traitors like John Paul Stevens. Another one, Kashik Basu. I don't know where he's from, but he is now an expert on our culture, our history, our law. And he says, I think even Madison would agree. It's time to repeal the Second Amendment. No, Madison and the founders would already have been up in arms to take down this government in Washington long ago. They didn't put up with this kind of crap that we put up with. We try to get along peacefully with people as much as it depends on us. So don't try to take away our Second Amendment, because then that breaks the final straw. You better realize that. But we've got one-fifth of Americans who want to do it, and we've got Democrats, and I'm going to give you a list of the shopping items that the Democrats have to take away your liberty. Not the Second Amendment, not your guns, but your liberty, folks. That's what they're talking about.
And now, live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
So now the practical, political aspects of this. Republican, politician, do you want to be on the side of 92% of the Republican voters, or do you want to be on the side of 8% of the Republican voters? According to the Washington Post poll, that they put this out immediately after the New York Times editorial by former Supreme Court, quote-unquote, Justice John Paul Stevens. They said there was a February Economist YouGov poll that showed 21% of Americans support repealing the Second Amendment. When you break it down by party, that was 8% of Republicans versus 39% of Democrats who favored it. And so the question for Republicans is, do you want to be with the 92% or you want to be with the 8%? I think that's pretty obvious. I think it should even be obvious for the Democrats. Do you want to be with the 61% or the 39% Democrat politician? That's a losing proposition even for the Democrats. What I am absolutely amazed at is that 8% of Republicans would be so naive as to throw away their freedom. Why would you ever throw any liberty away? People have died for our liberties, and we will die to take them back if we have to. Why bring that on? Why throw that stuff away? That is the mindset of a slave, and we got 8% of Republicans who have the mindset of a slave? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I expect that from Democrats, but it's amazing to find that with Republicans. But they do buy into other aspects of slavery. When it comes to the war on drugs, for example, Republicans who love property rights, they don't seem to have a problem with civil asset forfeiture, where the government can come in and take anything that you own under the pretense that somehow it might have been used in a drug crime. But they don't have to get a conviction against you. They don't even have to charge you with anything. They just take your property and charge the property with being an accessory to some kind of a drug crime or something, right? And, of course, most of the money has traces of cocaine on it or whatever. So, therefore, it's an accessory. We can take anything we want. Republicans don't have a problem with that. I find that amazing. But liberal journalists who are looking at this kind of stuff are coming back and saying, hey, Justice Stevens, don't talk like that, please. That is a, as one of them said, a provocative claim. But it also raises serious questions about what planet Justice Stevens is living on, said a editor at Think Progress. And they have a reporter at the Washington Journal, the Washington Post, saying, rarely do we see such an unhelpful, untimely, and fanciful idea as the one put forward by retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. This is Aaron Blake. He said the move might as well be considered an in-kind contribution to the National Rifle Association and to Republicans' efforts to keep the House and Senate in 2018 and to President Trump's 2020 reelection bid. Yeah, exactly right. Because we understand where you guys are. And we understand that amongst your voters and your supporters and your politicians, we have bills that are being put forward by Democrat politicians. We have the grassroots Republican Party, the activists out there, are saying repeal the Second Amendment. They're telling us we got to do this. Here's one of them. I'll say it, says Michael Ian Black. I'll say it. Assault weapons aren't the problem. Handguns are the problem. By all means, ban AR-15s and the like. But handguns kill far more people. The solution is to repeal and replace the Second Amendment. Make gun ownership a privilege, not a right. Yeah, there you go. Just like in China, They made speech a privilege and not a right. And like they're doing right now with their surrogates, with Google and Facebook and Twitter here in America, they're making speech a privilege granted by government and the corporations that are indistinguishable from the government. Yeah, they're making all these things privileges that are granted by the government. And then the next thing they do is they give you social credits like they're doing in China. And saying, well, you violated those privileges, so now you don't travel. Now you don't work. You are banned as an unmutual citizen, an enemy of the state. Yeah, privileges. I am not a big fan of government-granted privileges. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
As I pointed out in the last segment, we have many people at the Washington Post and elsewhere looking at this New York Times editorial by former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens calling for the repeal of the Second Amendment. So, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't say that. That is a gift to the NRA. It's a gift to the Republican Party. It's a gift to President Trump. And President Trump used that gift today to say, we're not going to take away your guns. We're not going to take away the Second Amendment. We're not going to take, and I wish they would talk about it in this way, as I said. It's not about the Second Amendment. It's not about the guns. It is about our liberty. Our liberty that is recognized by the Second Amendment. And we need to start talking about it in terms of that. I am not in favor of us talking about our guns versus other people when they're talking about protecting their lives and we're talking about protecting our guns. It's not about that. You protect your life by having liberty. Because it's not about taking life. It's also about defending life. It's a tool. It can be used or misused. And we have to have the ability of responsible, law-abiding citizens to use that tool to defend life. As I pointed out many times, my grandfather, able to defend himself, never fired a shot after his brother-in-law had been killed under exactly the same circumstances. I won't go into that story again. But what the Washington Post reporter, Aaron Blake, said, he said, rarely do we see such an unhelpful, untimely, fanciful idea as the one put forward by retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. And he goes on to talk about how it's going to help the Republican Party and President Trump. He said, this is exactly the kind of thing that motivates the right. You bet it motivates us. And it exposes you. He says it signals to the working class swing voters that perhaps the Democrat Party and the political left doesn't really get them. Oh, you think that's all it's about? These people who work overtime to take away every bit of our liberty. They even opposed our right to try drugs for terminally ill patients. Yes, it was the Democrat Party as a block that voted against that right to try bill. They want you to have a right to die. They want to be able to kill people. They want a right to an abortion. But they don't want a right to educate your children the way you want. They don't want you to have a right to decide where and what schedule you're going to vaccinate your children with, what drugs you're going to vaccinate them with. They don't want you to make those determinations. Or where you're going to educate your kids or what you're going to teach them. Can't make any of those decisions. You can't even make a decision about what medication you're going to take when you're terminally ill, according to the Democrats. But they're not there to take away your liberties. All they want to do is talk about race and sex and divide people. It's their identity politics. And of course, the working class swing voters understand that the Democrats don't get them. Of course, they understand that. He says, to the extent that this catches on, this idea of repealing the Second Amendment, and it has caught on with the Democrats, 39% of them want to repeal the Second Amendment, according to a poll from the Washington Post. To the extent that catches on, given nearly half the party is on board, at least in spirit, yeah, it's pretty accurate, about 40%. It will confirm plenty of pre-existing beliefs about what Democrats actually want. That's right, folks. We understand exactly what you want. And it is not just some wacko liberal, the most liberal judge, appointed by a Rockefeller Republican, Gerald Ford. It's not just what he wants. Democrats want this as well. Here's a Democrat congresswoman. Not a congresswoman. She's a state legislator out of Georgia. She said, we don't want to confiscate guns. We want to seize them. See, this is the way they use language. This is why I said you got to be very careful. You don't get out there supporting guns. This isn't about guns. Guns don't have rights. States don't have rights. States have powers. People have rights. Let's get the language clear or we're going to lose this battle. You go out there and start talking about, oh, I got my guns. I got my Second Amendment. Other people are making the case, well, your guns and your Second Amendment are taking people's lives. No, they're not. But it's going to look like that if you let them frame the debate. They are masters at prevarication. Just look at this. Well, we're not going to confiscate guns. We just want to seize them. See? That's the way they work. Debbie Wasserman Schultz wants to control your ammunition. She wants to have background checks for your ammunition. I tweeted this out yesterday when I saw it. I said, when is Jeff Sessions going to do a background check on Debbie Wasserman Schultz and the corruption that she was involved with the Awan brothers? She said, I really think it's important to underscore that without bullets, a gun is just a hunk of useless metal. That's right. Well, she understands that. Do you understand that? Do you understand what the Democrats are about? Do you understand what Debbie Wasserman Schultz, this criminal who should be in the docks defending herself from a prison sentence? Where is Jeff Sessions? Why can't we get these criminals out of Congress? She's going to be running again. And she wants to have background checks on ammunition. And she understands, and they've understood this for a while. This is stuff that was starting under Barack Obama. When they made all the moves saying, well, we're not going to sell used military brass into the private market. No, we will crush it and sell it for less to China as scrap metal. They could have made more money. The federal government could have made more money selling the stuff to people as used brass to be cleaned up and to be used as reloading. But no, they'd rather just crush it and sell it as scrap metal to China because they want to take away our ammunition. Because without ammunition, she's right, it's just a hunk of metal. It's a club. You are back into the dark ages. She said, and a would-be killer lacks the means to actually kill or maim. No, you're taking away the ammunition of a would-be defender as well. See, it's just a tool. The difference is it a good man or bad man? Is it a criminal or law-abiding citizen? Is it somebody who is an attacker or a defender? Debbie Wasserman Schultz is in the category of attacker. Attacking, you're right, of self-defense. Your liberty to defend yourself. And then we have the Democrats pushing an assault weapons ban. So you got a Democrat saying, we're not going to confiscate the guns, we're going to seize them. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, we need a background check on ammunition. Then you've got the Democrats pushing their assault weapon ban again. H.R. 5087, the assault weapons ban of 2018, has been referred to the House subcommittee. But as the New American points out, it is mathematically and politically speaking not going to pass. Not until the 2018 elections. If the Democrats win the 2018 elections, remember, just under half of them want this very badly. And that's the activist portion of the party. Here's Jimmy Carter, who attacks the NRA, saying that it represents gun manufacturers and not gun owners. I didn't know that there were millions of gun manufacturers in this country. I thought there's millions of gun owners. But here's Jimmy Carter, this successful president who came immediately after Gerald Ford, the Rockefeller Republican. Here's Jimmy Carter hitting on the NRA.
NRA basically represents the gun manufacturers and sellers instead of the average hunters and people that use guns for their own defense. So I think the distortion of the Second Amendment has been...
He said hunters.
There's no threat to the Second Amendment among the desire of the young people to have good background checks before you can buy a weapon, and they do away with the rapid-fire military weapons that we have authorized.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. It's a good thing that Jimmy Carter doesn't matter, isn't it? You know, he's done a lot for poor people since he's gotten out. He's a nice guy. But he was a failed president. And when he starts pushing this idea that the NRA doesn't represent the average hunter, oh, okay. Oh, it's about hunting. Is that really what it's about? No, it's not about that. It's not about sports. It's not even really about your own defense. Just defending yourself against common criminals. No, it's also about your own defense against a government that is out of control. Lindsey Graham, eventually, even a broken clock is right. Right? And Lindsey Graham is, I guess, our broken clock. It has now come around to the point where, I don't know, is he running again this year? I don't know. Maybe this is why he's doubling down on this. But there has to be some reason why people in South Carolina keep electing Lindsey Graham. I can't believe that he's the only person in South Carolina that supports the ownership of private firearms and so forth. But he came out and he said, I will protect the Second Amendment. I will not repeal it. He actually even beat President Trump to that tweet. And we're going to listen to what else Lindsey Graham has to say about that. And I'm glad that he will. It's going to be a very clear choice, regardless of how bad the Republicans are. They create these wedge issues. And even though you disagree with them on so many other things, there are some things that are non-negotiable. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Back to the future, isn't it? It's always about liberty. And we always keep going back to individual liberty. I've been talking about the Second Amendment, the insane idea being floated by the left that they're going to repeal the Second Amendment. Well, good luck with that, because we still have our God-given right to defend ourselves, and we're going to use that. But they're also coming after our free speech. They're trying to shut down our ability to freely exercise our speech. You can see how it's being done in China because they are the beta test for the globalists. And now we see how it's being done here in America using the corporate crony surrogates of censorship, Google, Facebook, Twitter, and others. But they're also coming after our transportation. As I've said many times, the military knows full well that if you want to shut down and control a people, you stop the way they move, communicate, and shoot. You stop all three of those, you control the people. And the one that we don't talk about enough, and the one that we don't understand, and the one that we don't recognize as a bill of rights, we don't have a bill of rights about our freedom of movement. It's not there, except in the Ninth Amendment, which says, oh, by the way, if we forgot anything, unless we specifically gave it to you, the federal government, you still don't have that. We still retain those powers and so forth. But it's not explicitly called out like free speech, like the right to defend ourselves. And yet those are under attack as well. So we need to understand what is happening with our movement. To join us now, we have Eric Peters. And, of course, he has a wonderful website, epautos.com. Does very honest auto reviews there. If you're looking for a car, great place to go for an opinion. But he also focuses on liberty. And because of those types of things, he's faced some repercussions from some big corporations as well. epautos.com is the website of Eric Peters. He writes about cars, mobility, and liberty. And we're going to talk about that right now. Thank you for joining us, Eric.
Oh, glad to be back, David.
You know, there's an interesting thing that you had up here. Which brand of taxis do you prefer? It's one of your recent articles. And I just saw an article from Road and Track. And the guy was bemoaning the latest auto show that he went to. And he was saying the auto industry is afraid of the future. He said they're actually like deer in the headlights. He said he goes there and he's like, this year's chrome and paint acreage offered up hardly anything unexpected. Vast arrays of crossovers blending into visual mush. How does an industry-wide blanderizing come about? And then he starts talking about how everybody's looking at the future and they're afraid to innovate. They're afraid to do anything because of, nobody's going to be buying any cars. And you made that point in your article when you talked about which brand of taxi do you prefer.
Sure. Ultimately, if these cars are automated and you no longer have any control over their operation, does it matter whether you're in a BMW brand or a Chevy brand? They all drive the same speed. They go the same way. They'll look slightly different, but there'll be modules. There'll be small modules, medium-sized modules, and larger modules. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But it also does have a massive disruptive effect that is about to come on our society. I was just talking the other day about the New York Post article talking about the suicides of taxi drivers, people who have paid $1 million. Most of them had to finance that, of course, because they're not rich people, for a taxi medallion that was going to finance their retirement and so forth. That $1 million medallion is now maybe worth $100,000, and they can't even meet the interest payments on that license. But of course, Uber and Lyft and these ride sharing companies maintain that they're not taxis. And so they don't get the kind of regulations the other people do. They don't get the kind of taxes that these other people do. And they are losing out on this. So one lawyer said, for every 40 bankruptcy cases that I see two or three cabbies, and it's getting worse. It's accelerating. That is just the tip of the iceberg of what is going to happen to the transportation industry with truckers and other people as well.
Oh, sure. And with regard to these ride-sharing companies, it's absolutely devilish. They get these poor people to use their own personal vehicles to eat the cost of the car and the maintenance on the car and everything else and eke out a scratch living giving people rides. And it's then they'll be ultimately completely unemployed once the automated car thing actually comes online. But I don't think it ever actually will come online for a variety of reasons.
And why is that?
Well, in the first place, the assumption that the technology is going to scale to millions, literally millions of vehicles operating in a very difficult environment without failures, without wear and tear, without software glitches, it strikes me as ridiculous. If you think about how fragile our smartphones are, our computers crash all the time. Well, these things are incredibly complex computers, which rely on myriad sensors and inputs from all kinds of directions. And if anything goes wrong with any of it, it doesn't work. And the idea that these things are going to be out there running around every day seamlessly and not having problems, just it strikes me as preposterous.
Well, just look at what happened in Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah.
And we had the Arizona governor say, well, we're not going to allow Uber to continue using people in real life as a test lab here without their consent, without their knowledge. And you look at that particular incident, and it was immediately, as we see in every one of these incidents, immediately they say, well, the car's not at fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person who's some individual, especially some individual who is outside of the car, is at fault. And the sheriff said, well, nobody could have seen that coming. Well, you know, she walked out of the shadows. She walked across. Maybe she was homeless. Maybe she was on drugs or something to walk across the road at the time. But when you saw the video footage there, you instantly understand that the car should have seen her, that the woman who was behind the wheel was looking down playing with her cell phone, and she didn't do anything until she heard the thump, thump. But if she had been driving, she would have had her brights on in that darkness. And the car is using radar, using LIDAR to image this stuff. So it should have known that that pedestrian was there.
Well, a computer can only operate within the limits of its programming. You know, they're very capable, but people make the mistake of thinking that they really are intelligent in the way that a human being is intelligent, in the way that a human being can interpret data and, you know, exercise judgment. Computers cannot do that yet. They operate within the limits of their programming. So to give you a really good example with these cars, I live in the country, and sometimes you'll be driving down the road, and if one deer jumps across the road, you can be pretty sure there's another one coming behind it. You learn to anticipate.
That's right, I know, yeah.
You anticipate that. Human drivers anticipate such a thing, but a computer cannot anticipate such a thing. It has its default programming, and that's it. And we're entrusting, or we're being pressured to entrust this technology, this very fallible technology, with our lives, to surrender our judgment to a computer.
And the great lie that is being sold by all these companies like Volvo, saying, oh, it's going to be zero traffic fatalities. Think about the 30,000 lives that you're going to save every year by having the machines who never make a mistake. That is the great fallacy, that somehow human engineers are going to create something that is better than human drivers are capable of doing. And I've seen this from the very earliest days of computers, how people would worship a printout coming from an IBM computer, the very primitive computers we had back in the 1970s. People would worship that and say, oh, that's it. It was made fun of by Scott Adams? Or let's see, who was it? Douglas Adams with Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. You know, everybody's waiting for the meaning of life, and finally it cranks out after eons. It cranks out the number 42.
Well, you used exactly the right word, worship. This is it's a religion. They've come to view technology as a deity. That's omniscient, that's perfect, and of course that's ridiculous, and it just baffles me that people who every day rely on smartphones that have glitches, on computers that crash, you spill coffee on the keyboard, the thing is fritzed out, they somehow think that that's not going to be an issue with these automated vehicles, thing.
Absolutely. All right, we've got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back, and let's talk about Tesla. You've written articles about how Elon Musk is the king of crony capitalism, getting subsidized for these things. Well, it looks like they've also had yet another crash. And this one wasn't necessarily due to the automation that was driving the car, but it had something to do with the battery that was there, this thing that is so heavily worshipped and subsidized. We'll be right back with Eric Peters, epautos.com.
War on corruption. It's David Knight.
We're talking to Eric Peters of epautos.com. We want you to understand that this move to take away the cars and to give you these little robo-taxi modules that they're going to run around the cities, and we're already seeing across Europe, we're seeing the banning of diesel engines. And shortly behind it, we're seeing the banning of internal combustion engines and then total banning of private cars in many of these cities. I mean, even in the UK, they even have a different price to park your car, depending on whether it's a gasoline engine or a diesel engine. And if you've got an electric car, oh, that's wonderful. We'll actually give you some free electricity if you drive a little virtue signaling electric car. And so Tesla has made a great deal of money. It's actually kind of been their business model, hasn't it, Eric, to get subsidies for selling electric vehicles.
That's right. Take away the subsidies and the mandates, and the business, and I put that in air quotes, goes away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it looks like their business may be about ready to crash and burn. They had a... because they can't manufacture these things. They're having a lot of problems doing that. But I think it's very interesting to look at this most recent crash that they had. A Tesla Model X driver died. This is a situation where it looks like this wasn't the machine driving, but it was an individual. Nevertheless, when they hit a concrete divider wall along the side of the road, this happened in an Austrian highway. The car burst into flames, yeah, and the person died. And they've had several incidents of this happen before. There was one in France where they were taking a test drive, a couple of people and a Tesla representative. And the Tesla representative saw what was happening, told him, pull over real quickly. They, all three of them, got out, but just in the nick of time. And yep, we all saw, if you watch Grand Tour, we saw Richard Hammond almost die in an electric vehicle that had a crash. All of his co-hosts thought he was dead because it went up and burned so quickly. And then they couldn't put that fire out. I mean, these things, once they start, we've had people trying to charge their Nissan Leaf in North Carolina. Remember, we had several of these cases where they were charging their car. And once these electric vehicles and these batteries start to burn, you can't put them out. They burn down the entire house in a couple of instances.
And not with normal means. This is a chemical fire, so it's different, yeah, from, say, a gas fire. And mm-hmm, if you don't have the necessary extinguishing equipment to deal with it, and deal with it very quickly, the fire will very rapidly get out of control.
That's right. But of course, it is something that is being endlessly promoted by our government. And we have to ask, why is this? Well, it's all part of the climate change issue. And it's being promoted by people like the Lyft's CEO, used to be a urban planner. And urban planners hate the fact that you have your own ability to move around. They have done everything they can to stop that. They put all kinds of regulations on cars and cities, not to the extent that they've done it in Europe yet, but look at the hassle that is to drive a car around the cities. They will not do anything to alleviate the traffic. I mean, they could have multiple vertical layers of cars, just like they have built the buildings higher and higher. They could build the roads higher and higher, but they refuse to do anything for capacity. They multiply the number of rules, then they add prohibitions if that isn't enough. Maybe they don't understand that we want some freedom instead of their control.
Well, one of the purposes that's underlying this is the debt model. They want everybody, yes, to be on the cycle of constantly paying for transportation. Right now, it's possible to own your vehicle, mm-hmm, whether new or used. And once you do own it, you no longer have to make that monthly payment, and your cost to get around is substantially less. And you have freedom, and you have economic liberty and freedom.
That's right.
What they want to get rid of is that. They want to chain you to more debt. This is another means to prop up the system that we've got of debt financing.
And that's one of the reasons why they always put it these clunker buybacks. They want to get used cars that can be repaired and kept on the road. They want to get them off the road. They want to keep you buying those cars, get the cars more and more expensive so you have to finance them, and then by the time you get them paid off, you've got to buy a new one unless you want to spend a lot of money on repairs and know how to do it yourself. But then they would lease the cars. That was more profitable for them than selling them. But if they can lease it to you by the ride, that is the most profitable model for the automobile companies. And that's precisely that's why you've got this unholy alliance between the automobile companies and the government, who wants to control every aspect of your movement.
That and the control aspect, I think, are the two, yeah, biggies here. You know, I really go to great lengths when I discuss this topic to use the term automated cars rather than the one that they use, which is autonomous, because these cars are anything but autonomous.
That's right.
Autonomous means that it's independent, that it's under your control. And nothing could be further from the truth when it comes to these automated cars. We will all be emasculated and reduced to a state of infancy, just like when we were kids and we rode in the back seat and our parents took us where they decided we were going to go. And that's essentially what we're looking at here if this ever does come to pass.
That's right. The parent is going to be Big Brother. And these are, as I've said many times, it's tax and track robo-taxis. And they're going to be controlled by the government and big corporations. The governments will be making, the corporations will be making money hand over fist, as you just pointed out, and the government will be taxing you every mile that you go and watching everything that you do. That's the total control grid that they're trying to enact with these smart cities. And that's why Democrat politicians especially have always wanted to control transportation, whether it's some kind of nonsense about monorail projects that are ridiculously expensive, or now this is their new pet project to tell people, oh, you'll still have some independence because you can grab a taxi and go here or there. But of course, as you point out, the automobile meant that you were self-mobile. You didn't have to depend on anybody.
Right. They present this image, this fantasy of a Jetsons-like future where we're all going to be whizzing along instantly at very high speeds, getting to places much more efficiently and quickly. And that, too, is obvious nonsense if you stop and think about it. Right now, you can go out and get in your car and go at the drop of a hat whenever you feel like it. How in the world, how long is it going to take for you to summon a car? If you push an app on your phone, it's going to take several minutes at the very best case scenario before your automated car shows up. So you stand there and wait. You're on its schedule. You go as it decides how it's going to go.
That's right. That's right. And again, going back to computers, I remember in the 1970s, we would have one giant deep thought that we all had to go interact with. One big mainframe computer, and it was everything that the engineering students and the computer science students and the administration used it for their accounting stuff, and another college, same thing. And we would all queue up to get in line with our punch cards, and we were all waiting like servants on this semiconductor god, you know, and we were the ones doing the waiting, and I could not wait. And we all at that time, we had personal computers were in their infancy, and I said, this is what it needs to be. So the computer is sitting there waiting for me to hit the next keystroke, not me waiting for the computer. And this is now taking us back to that model, because it's all about centralized control. That was the problem with that model then, and that's the problem with their smart cities, except that that's what they want. They want that centralized control. For us, it is a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, you notice that this is not an organic development that's happening as a result of market demand. It is a top-down, pyramidal kind of thing that's being literally forced down our throats.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there's not consumers, even with the subsidies. It's a very small percentage of people in Europe, like 1% of the people who buy electric cars. They don't want them. I mean, look at the amount of time that it takes to refuel it. It takes me about 45 seconds to get 300 miles of fueling out of my gasoline car.
Yep.
But it's going to take like 12 hours to do that, depending on what your, it might take 45 minutes if you've got one of the super fast, expensive chargers or whatever, and different kind of battery. Nevertheless, would these, any of these people who are so adamant about Teslas, these people who are typically in tech fields themselves, they love these new gadgets, would they accept giving up their gigabit high-speed internet to go back to dial-up speed? I mean, that's what we're talking about
here.
No,
certainly not. You know, if this stuff could sell on the merits, it would.
Yeah.
It's such a simple thing, and yet that question is never asked. It's so obvious to me that the vast majority of people are never going to tolerate waiting even a half hour to recharge their car. If it ever gets to the point where it's realistic to do it in a half hour, that's absurd. You can gas up your car in less than 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So how
mm-hmm.
is it an improvement, progress, to what, quintuple the time that it takes to refuel and get back on the road?
Well, I would say it's even faster than that, because I actually timed it. And I forget what the factor, the multiples were, but I said, all right, look, the overhead of running my credit card through and all this other kind of stuff that I have to, that's going to be the same one way or the other.
Right.
It's just the amount of time it takes me to pour 10 gallons of fuel into my little car and get on my way. And that only took me 45 seconds to do that.
Yeah.
So that's the real issue. All right, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about DARPA. That's where this is really coming from, folks. They were the first ones to run the self-driving car contest. That all came from DARPA. We'll be right back. I'm David Knight. Talking about cars. We're talking to Eric Peters of epautos.com. Cars have been a driving engine of prosperity and liberty in the 20th century America. That has changed now. And the forces who control us, the government and the corporations, have realized that they can have more control and more wealth by taking away that liberty from us. And so I'm talking to Eric Peters about this. You know, Eric, when we talk about the electric cars and the unique problems that they have, because every technology has its unique problems. They may be solved. They may have new problems. And, of course, one of the ones that we were talking about was their propensity to catch fire when there's a crash and to burn very rapidly and to continue to burn, be very difficult to put out. Also, the problems of recharging them. Nevertheless, our government will subsidize corporations like Tesla to no end in spite of no demand from consumers, and they're banning these other cars. And Eric, I want to get your take on this, because I look at this, it seems to me that, you know, we've always understood, even in the, especially in the automobile industry, the idea of planned obsolescence. It used to be that Detroit only made cars to last about 3 years because they wanted you to buy another car. I think these electric cars are a different kind of planned obsolescence. I think they want to make them expensive and have a short life cycle with the batteries and so forth, so that it is not economic for you to own them. So this is a kind of planned obsolescence that drives you not to repurchase, but drives you to become a renter.
Right. It's very analogous to cell phones. You know, you get your smartphone.
That's right.
You buy it on a contract and you have it for, usually about 2 years. And right around the two-year mark, the thing starts to become out of date. You know, you can't get the latest apps for it. The OS is deteriorated. And so you change it up for another phone, and you get a new plan. That's what most people do, and that's the model for these cars.
That's right. That's right. And it's sold as an environmental nirvana, but as we've seen, for example, if you're in India, where the power generation is done by very old and dirty power plants, or in China, you only need a gasoline engine that gets 36 miles per gallon to have less carbon output. And here in the United States, it's right around the mileage figure, miles per gallon figure that you see for diesel engines. That's why they had to go. That and the fact that they're very durable and they last a very long time, so you don't have that planned obsolescence. But I think there's also something else. I just saw this last week, a union chief out of Hyundai saying that that electric cars are evil. He said, we're feeling job anxiety. We're feeling a sense of crisis. He said, the problem is that he thinks they're going to lose about 70% of their jobs because you need so many fewer people to build these electric cars. They don't have the engines. They don't have the transmissions. So it is a simpler car for them to build, even though it doesn't last as long.
Well, that's all true, but it's also a quantitatively more expensive car.
Yeah.
The least expensive new electric car that you can buy is the Nissan Leaf, and it's about $30,000. And that's massively subsidized. If the if the real cost to manufacture that car were reflected in its sticker price plus a reasonable profit for Nissan, it would probably be close to $40,000 for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that's at the same price point as a well-equipped BMW 3 Series or a Lexus ES350. So there's this idea that somehow the general public is going to be able to afford to drive around in these $40,000 and up cars. The math just doesn't work out. There's no way people can do that. Leaving aside wishes and dreams, it all comes down to what can people afford to do.
That's right. They can sell you the ride, and you'll have many, many fewer rides to go anywhere and shorter rides. And that's the one way that you'll be able to move. But you're not going to be able to use your car the way that you did. And that's precisely what they want. And this gets us back to where we started, the control grid. Control the way people move, communicate, and shoot. And this is the same model that we have seen the government do with Google and Facebook. You create this subsidized thing, like we have Google and Facebook. Oh, it's free. Just come on in. They create this rope-a-dope, if you will, to attract people in, then to trap them in there, and then to exert their control. And that's what I see these big car companies working with the government to do to us with our transportation. The same thing they've done to us with our communication with Google and with Facebook.
Well, the irony here is one of the ironies. The reason that the auto companies are doing this, they're doing it out of desperation, and they're doing it as a result of the add-on costs of all the government mandates of the past 30 or 40 years, which have pushed the average car's cost to well over $30,000. And people can't cope with that. They have now pushed out new car loans to 6, 7, 8 years. And that's up against the wall, because beyond that point, you get into this cycle of where the car is no longer worth as much as what you still owe on it, and people get upside down. And what are they going to do? The government continues to throw out these mandates that increase the cost of vehicles, which makes them more expensive to buy and to finance. And so, you know, they probably thought about it and realized, well, the thing to do is to get everybody on the ride-sharing model and just charge them for the ride rather than try and sell them a car.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, we look at these things, Eric, and we look at Tesla. Tesla's in problems because they have some problems because they're having difficulty matching their production figures. And you look at these numbers, some people try to put a happy face on it. The stock market is not looking very good about this. Tesla bonds are crashing after Moody downgraded it to liquidity pressure. Tesla collapses to a 12-month lows after the NTSB probes California crash and so forth. But they continue to move ahead, and people are optimistic that they're going to get these things solved. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to really go up exponentially because of the rates even now that the most optimistic pieces from Bloomberg are showing. They've got a pent-up set of orders that would take them like 50 years to fill at the rate that they're able to produce cars. But they could get these problems solved, and it's not really an issue of the technology. Again, it comes back to our liberty. You know, we can always talk about the safety and efficacy of these things, you know, just like we're talking about the safety and efficacy of guns. You know, well, you know, some bad people are going to kill people. Well, we've got some other reasons that we want to have guns. And so when people look at the cars and they say, well, they're going to save lives or they're going to make things cheaper or more expensive, that's all beside the fact of whether or not they're going to turn us into renters.
That's right. Now, I wouldn't have an issue with this if it were organic. If automated technology came out and there were people, for example, elderly people who can't drive anymore, and wanted to have access to that. Hey, I think that's fabulous. My issue is that it's going to be forced on everybody, and they're going to take away the freedom of choice that we currently have to drive ourselves to own our own cars. That's the ultimate end game with this thing, in my opinion.
That's right. They're holding a gun to our head. Yeah. And we can make all these things that are being done, again, to take away our ability to move, communicate, and shoot. You know, they say guns. Well, you know, bad guys can get them. They say speech. Well, free speech. You can't have that because somebody might lie to you. You can't have cars because they're going to kill you. They refer to humans as wetware. Yeah, you get pretty wet when you get run over by automated car, don't you?
You do, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely amazing. But I also see this, again, you know, we've seen this pattern from the globalists for a very long time. When Robert McNamara went to the World Bank, he started making loans to these third world countries, and everybody accused him of trying to turn them into renters because he was getting them to go into debt so they could fund a welfare state. They weren't building an infrastructure. They weren't rebuilding a country like Germany that had been bombed. They were going into debt to fund a welfare state. And these same people, everything that they do is designed to turn us into renters and to make sure that they own everything. And that, to me, is the fundamental issue behind these smart cities, behind these controlled cars that they're coming up with, and that is to take away your ownership and your liberty.
I agree. It's the company town model large across the entire nation.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you load 16 tons, and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. And that's really what they're loading on us. And this is also something that has been a long-term project of the military. When you look at some of the stuff that DARPA is funding, yeah, of course, you can always make the case that they want these robot vehicles for the military. They had the first self-driving car contest were funded by DARPA. But, of course, remember that DARPA also gets into brain control technology and many other things that are going to be used against a population. And so I think that they have taken the leading edge in pushing this. As you're talking about, this is not organic. It's not coming from the people. It's coming at the people. It's a model that is being forced upon us. And we ought to ask, why are they doing this?
Absolutely. And I think the media has been grossly negligent in not asking those questions and putting it to the people and querying them. Look, if this is so wonderful, why is it necessary to pass laws and force people into this stuff?
That's right. And that's why I like your website, EP Autos, because you do ask those questions. You give honest automobile reviews, and you do ask the questions as if liberty really mattered. Because, you know, when they take away your liberty, then even when they promise you safety, when they promise you prosperity, oh, it's going to be cheaper, it's going to be safer. Anytime you give away your liberty to that degree, you become a slave. And slaves are never free. They're never safe. They're never prosperous. None of this stuff ever comes about. So I really do appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric Peters. And you can find his stuff at epautos.com. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. And before we go to break, real quickly, I just want to remind you of some of the sales that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. It's what funds this program and everything that we do. You can overcome this control grid. And you can protect your own health. Knowledge is the key. But to keep us free and independent, please take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We have massive discounts on some things like BrainForce, 50% off of BrainForce. We also have The Real Red Pill and CellForce and many other things, 50% off.
Waging information warfare against pushers of fake news. It's David Knight.
All right, we've been talking about the move against your ability to shoot. We've been talking about the move against your ability to move, your transportation. Try to take that over. Let's talk a little bit about communication. We have Google partnering with the mainstream media to wipe independent journalism off the map. That's the headline from Free Thought Project, and that's a great way to put it. That's precisely what is happening. This is a project called the Google News Initiative, a $300 million project. $300 million to suppress some news organizations and to lift up other news organizations. And which news organizations do you think they would be suppressing, and which ones do you think they'd be lifting up? Well, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? We've already seen which types of news they favor and which types they don't like. We've seen this in the people that they bring in to vet who is true and who isn't. People like the Southern Poverty Law Center that have accused people who believe in traditional marriage of being hate groups, like the Family Research Council, and had a guy believe that and try to shoot people at that organization because of what the Southern Poverty Law Center did. Those are the people who are vetting true media for Google. They paid $12.6 billion, they said, to partners while they drove 10 billion clicks a month to publishers' websites for free. Matt Drudge is absolutely right. They have done a rope-a-dope. They have got us inside of a ghetto as far as free speech goes, and now the draconian control comes in. That's why I was talking to Eric Peters about what they're trying to do. That's precisely the same model that they are working on with the big corporations. It's not going to be Google and Facebook, but it's going to be GM and it's going to be Ford, the newly branded mobility companies. They see themselves more as data companies. They're going to be shoveling your data over to the government, over to other people, selling that data, everything about where you go, what your habits are. They can monetize that. They can make a lot of money off of it, just like Facebook, Twitter, Google. And then, of course, they can rent you all of this stuff. And they can tell the government everything that you're doing. The same model, folks, that they're using to control our speech. You can see this happening with the speech stuff now. And they are preparing the ghetto for you in the smart cities, along with their little robo-taxis that they control. Same thing that they're doing. They're now working with publishers, just like they're going to be working with automotive mobility companies to elevate certain companies and certain practices and to denigrate other people who don't match their social media scores. They say, we're going to work with publishers to elevate accurate quality content. Oh, well, who's going to decide whether it's accurate? Who's going to decide whether it's quality? Well, people like the Southern Poverty Law Center. People like Google, and we know what their politics are. And then they're going to stem the flow of misinformation and disinformation. Well, who's going to be labeled that? Well, that's going to be anybody that is conservative, anybody that is not going to be part of the establishment media. As I pointed out before, we have called these people the prestitutes. We have called them the mockingbird media for the longest time. We were the first ones to start calling them fake news. And then President Trump made that a key issue. Now they've turned this around and said, oh no, you're fake news and we're going to kick you off of the internet. And then we're going to allow all of these trusted sources like CNN and Washington Post, the New York Times, the Financial Times, Gannett newspapers, all the USA Today, so forth. Those are going to be the people that they're going to promote, Fox News. They will actually pay them. They will give the big media corporations, they'll get the carrot. The rest of us, we'll get the stick, just like we see the big corporations and the favored people who will push their agenda. Oh, you want to make an electric car? That's fine. You know, even if you can't do it profitably, we'll subsidize you. But if you make a diesel car that works, we will give you, Volkswagen, a $4 billion fine, and we'll put one of your executives in jail. Do you get the message? Oh, yeah, they got the message. Now they're going to be making electric cars, and they're stopping with all their diesel cars because we can't have anything that is economical or reliable, or they can be owned. Yeah, it's planned obsolescence to drive you into a renter model, and it's exactly what they're already doing with speech.
You found it. It's the real news. From the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. As I just said at the top of the hour, we look at Google and their project, the Google News Initiative, a $300 million project to give a carrot to certain news organizations that they want to promote. To the establishment media, the mainstream media, the prostitute media, the real fake news. They are fake news. They have tried to turn that around and label anybody who is not pushing the government propaganda. Anybody that questions it, oh, well, then you're a conspiracy theorist. Or even worse, you are bullying and harassing children. You must be shut down. I mean, even in China, look at that. They're coming after people who are mocking the North Korean dictator who's meeting with President Xi. people started calling him Fatty the Third. And so the Chinese government censored the term fatty because you can't be allowed to harass and bully a dictator. A dictator. Yeah. And that's what they're doing here in America. So when we look at this, and we look at what YouTube is doing, here's a story made the Drudge Report from a friend of mine back in North Carolina, Paul Chesser, Liberty Headlines. Good job, Paul. Glad that Drudge put that up there. YouTube puts a warning on a satirical video about David Hogg. Somebody did a satirical video like Darren McBreen here did as well. Both of them came up with the same idea. I don't know if they've hammered Darren's video. But both of them, because of how Hitlerian this angry little boy looks. And as James Woods had pointed out before when he tweeted out the picture, showed him from the chin down and showed his armband and said, look at how much he looks like. That's a very effective costume, but I don't think you're going to get too many Jewish people to sign up to that. Do you have shiny boots to go along with that and some brown shirts? And so what Darren did was crank up the sound there a little bit. So what he did was he took these pictures of these individuals at this march. There he is with the little brown shirt, Hitler Youth stuff there. And he puts the... the speech of Hitler there. And so a lot of people are coming to the same conclusion about David Hogg and his followers. And he does the little Sieg Heil thing and all the people responding with the Sieg Heil. So when this other guy did it, YouTube put took that satirical video and they said, the following content, when you go to watch it, that says the following content has been identified by the YouTube community as inappropriate or offensive to some audiences. Yeah, like Google and the people who are trying to protect their high school avatars that are out there pushing gun control. And so you have to click on it and say, I understand and I wish to proceed. It's like you're going to watch some kind of a violent video or porn video or something. No, it's a satire. It's a satire. So you're not allowed to see political satire. Because they understand what a powerful weapon ridicule is. Why is it that all these late-night comedians don't do anything but talk politics anymore? So many people have wrung their hands and said, gee, I wish we could go back to the time when late-night entertainment really was entertainment instead of political diatribes. And they understand how effective ridicule is. That was one of the rules for radicals of Saul Alinsky. Ridicule is one of the most powerful weapons, he said, because you can't answer it. They just make fun of you. They ridicule you. They bully you. They harass you. Well, it's called ridicule, and the left uses it with impunity. As we're talking about this control grid, and as we're talking about the fact that the same structures that hopefully by now you who are listening to this program understand that Google and Facebook were the partners of government to create what Matt Drudge calls these ghettos. Yeah, come on in. We got free subsidized rent for you to get into these ghettos. You don't have to pay anything to use Google or Facebook. And then you become the product. And then the walls go up. And then when they get everybody else out of business, then comes the authoritarian control structure. Understand, that is the model for their smart cities, for their control of your transportation as well. And they're going to be looking at your data. Ford calls itself now a mobility company. They're no longer a car company. They're a mobility company. And they see themselves as data companies. And what are they going to be doing with that data? Well, the same thing that Facebook and Google are doing with the data. They're going to be monetizing it, and they're going to be turning it over to the government. Here's this article from Cointelegraph. You know, the cryptocurrency people are woke. They have understood for a long time, many of them, I think, woke up when they saw what happened to Silk Road. And now, just in case you didn't understand, those Snowden documents that were released 5 years ago, The Intercept didn't give you all those documents. Neither did The Washington Post or The Guardian. They're still trickling some of this stuff out. The latest thing that came out showed that back before these documents were released, and that was 5 years ago, 2013, before they were released, the NSA was saying Bitcoin is our number one priority. Not ISIS, but Bitcoin. Bitcoin threatened their power, threatened their control. See, the banks are a big part of their control as well. And so they're always looking for ways to control you. That means taking away your freedom, turning you into renters, spying on everything that you do. And so Cointelegraph points out U.S. Cloud Act. Have you heard of the U.S. Cloud Act? Has anybody talked about the U.S. Cloud Act? The U.S. Cloud Act has come in, like Carl Sandburg would say, on little cat feet, silently coming into your life, the Cloud Act of the United States government. It gives government easier access to all your private data that is stored on the cloud by the U.S. technical companies, okay? The Cloud Act, and they even got a little acronym, CLOUD. That stands for Clarifying Lawful Overseas Use of Data Act. CLOUD. Clarifying Lawful Overseas Use of Data. Boy, they really torture the English language to come up with these acronyms, don't they? But this is really just another justification or a law to make sure that they don't go to jail for violating the Fourth Amendment and spying on you. It's a last-minute addition to this $1.3 trillion federal omnibus bill, the omnibus bill, the omnibust bill. Call it all those things. But yeah, it is ominous. And this is what they do. They sneak this stuff in, just like they snuck in indefinite detention by the military and rendition without trial into the NDAA. Oh, we're going to fund the military. Oh, but we're also going to sneak in this little thing here. Well, what'd they sneak in to the federal spending bill that Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell waited until the 11th hour plus to release so that nobody had time to read it? Well, they snuck in the Cloud Act that will allow the U.S. government more access to your data, your personal data for law enforcement purposes. Forget about the Fourth Amendment. You know, David Hogg doesn't even, when he complains about his transparent backpack, he doesn't even understand which amendment that violates. He thinks it violates his First Amendment. There's no speech in carrying a backpack. They do that so that they can search you without having to look into your bag, without having to touch it. It takes away your privacy. It makes all your personal effects open and available to them, just like your computer does. And he doesn't even realize that. He's so proud of himself because he can send an iMessage and his old explicative deleted parents, as Nixon would say, his old parents don't know how to do an iMessage. He's so much smarter than them. He's going to take the effing democracy out of their hand and use it because they don't know how to use the effing democracy. He doesn't understand how that phone is being used against him. He doesn't understand that he thinks he's so clever because he can send an iMessage and these people are watching and monitoring everything that he and his generation are doing. They didn't even know which amendment they're violating. The bill has been opposed by privacy advocates who say this final tacked on piece of legislation will erode privacy protections around the globe. Of course it will. That's the whole point. The whole point. Here's a piece of news. Did you know that the scientists have discovered a new human organ? I thought we knew everything. You know, I said this when Stephen Hawking died. I said he's a good example. The doctors gave him 2 years to live, but he lived another 50 years. See, sometimes the people that we worship as authorities, sometimes they don't know everything. Science, by the way, folks, is never settled. Whether you're talking about origins like the Big Bang, or whether you're talking about environmental science, or even if you're talking about the human body, they don't even know. Still discovering new organs. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Yeah, we've got the delete Facebook hashtag. Been trending the last few days. People starting to realize, I don't like Facebook following everything that I'm doing. They keep following me even if I delete it. And they're recording, as people realize, they're recording every single phone call that you made and every message that you made. Who did you send that to? I don't know if they're controlling, recording the content of it. They got all this information on people. Now we have whistleblowers say, yeah, they're listening to you too. And isn't it interesting that we just had snuck into this omnibus bill at the last minute, the U.S. Cloud Act, which allows the government to expand its snooping on all of your data on the cloud without having a search warrant. Oh, yeah, we just said that the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply anywhere, even on the cloud. even on the cloud. See, it's the same argument that we started the program with former Supreme Court John Paul Stevens. I almost called him a justice. I cannot bring myself to call that traitor a justice. There's no justice in the fact that he was sitting on the Supreme Court. But he was saying, you don't need the Second Amendment anymore. That was when people had muskets and so forth. So you don't need that. And, you know, they're saying the same thing to us now about our speech. They're saying, well, you don't need to have a protection and privacy in your person, in your home, in your papers. None of that applies. We have new technology now. So you don't use a parchment and an ink quill. So therefore, you don't have any privacy. The Fourth Amendment was only about parchment and about ink quills. And now that we have electronic computers, that principle no longer applies. No, it does. It does. It does. It should apply even more so. And the reasons that we needed firearms to protect us against a government that was tending towards tyranny, that had a standing army and so forth, those reasons are even more powerful now. Just like the government that can easily spy on so much more information about you that is being tracked by your phone and your computer and so forth. So much more information there to be had than ever before. There has to be greater protection, and yet there's less in both of these instances. And so let me give you an example of this, because, you know, Eric Schmidt has said, well, if you got nothing to hide, then you shouldn't care if we're spying on you, right? Well, here's an example. A lot of people report about this. Here's a Reason's report on this. A dental practice in Pennsylvania has a novel method for guaranteeing that they get return business. They send out a letter threatening to turn the parents into child protective services if you don't come back in for a dental checkup. See, they've got that information on you, and they're going to turn into snitches. This is what we have created. As William Binney said, what we have now is far worse because of the technology that gives them this kind of leverage. It's far worse than anything the East German Stasi had. And this is a guy who spent his career monitoring what was going on in East Germany for the NSA. When are we going to have the hashtag delete the NSA? When are we going to have the hashtag delete the CIA? Because they are the deep state folks. So this dental company, Smile for Keeps, as Reason is pointing out, they insist, oh no, this wasn't a threat. This is being misinterpreted as a threat. But let me read you the article. As a matter of fact, pull up that picture, scroll down a little bit, show that picture there. When you look at that article, they have a three-line little paragraph at the top, and they have a little three-line paragraph at the bottom. Oh, hi, how you doing? We'd like to keep your kids as healthy as possible. Thank you for doing business with us, that type of thing, right? Boilerplate. Hello, goodbye. But in the middle, what was this letter about? It was nothing but pure intimidation. Let me read it to you. According to law, this is the second paragraph. Starts out this way. According to law, failure to bring your child for dental care is considered neglect. Pennsylvania Act 31, the Child Abuse Reporting and Recognition Requirement, states that health care providers must report your failure to bring your child to the dentist for evaluation and care. A copy of Act 31 is enclosed for your reference. They throw the law in your face after quoting it. It says, smiles for keeps. Yeah, smiles for keeps. We'll keep your kid if you don't bring them in. Smile. Has not reported your child's outstanding dental treatment as of yet. As of yet. You don't think this is a threat? Since this law is in effect, we hope this letter is encouraging you to schedule an appointment to follow through with needed dental treatment for your child. If you sought a second opinion, please also contact us with the name of your new provider. We'll be happy to forward your child's records upon signing a release form. So, release yourself from our control over you and your children by sending us a permission slip showing us that you have chosen a new dental provider or whatever. That is absolutely amazing. I mean, the beginning of it, that smiles for keeps. Our goal is to keep children as healthy as possible through education, blah, blah, blah. Nice and friendly opening, blah, 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 boilerplate. And then it gets into the in-your-face threat, including a copy of the law. See, this is why it's not a good idea to allow Google and Facebook to have control. The liberals have woken up to this because, as the whistleblower said, hey, I saw that Trump was using this information. And it was far less and far less effective than what Obama had done. But they were fine with that. And as I said before, You have to understand the principles involved. I don't think he still understands the principles. I don't think that any of these people who are on the left who are complaining about Facebook now really care about how this is being used and abused by Obama. They don't care about how the government is using and abusing your private information. They don't care about that. They only care if Trump is doing it. And you know what? I think there's some conservatives who only care if Obama is doing it. And that's the sad thing. Do you really care that the bump stock ban that President Trump is pushing is setting a new precedent, a new way for guns to be controlled? Yeah, it's a junk piece, but it is a junk tactic that is being set up. It is a precedent that is being set up. And it is not respecting the Second Amendment. And you ought to be angry about that. You ought to be pushing back against that. See, they know that you're not going to vote against them because the Democrats want to go all the way to repealing the Second Amendment. But that's not good enough. We do have primaries. We do have primaries, and you should get involved in those primaries. All right, let's talk about another thing that I think will challenge maybe the way that you think about things. In Pakistan, because, you know, some cultures are better than other cultures, the Pakistani council there, a village council, ordered the sister of a man accused of rape and found guilty of rape. They ordered, the village council ordered the sister of the rapist to be raped by the brother of his victim. Wow. Do you like that, feminists? Do you think that's reasonable? That because a guy rapes a woman and is found guilty, therefore, I don't know what they did to the rapist. Did they do anything to him, or are the men escaping any kind of punishment? But because this rapist did something, his sister gets raped. And I thought, well, that's kind of crazy. But it's kind of the logic that the feminists use about abortion. See, if you have a baby that is a product of a rape, then they think it's okay to kill the baby. How is that any different from this kind of Islamic insanity? To kill an innocent baby because the father was a rapist is no different, really, than raping a woman because her brother was a rapist. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
In Texas, it's David Knight.
The last segment I was telling you about a village council in Pakistan. This is a kind of councils are known as Jirgas. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. J-I-R-G-A, Jirga. They enforce Islamic justice because, you know, some systems, some cultures, some legal systems are better than others. We're supposed to believe, according to Hillary Clinton and the Democrats, that the Islamic system is better than ours. So let me give you an example of this and tell you that this case that came out of this particular village is not unique. It has happened before under these Islamic councils. Back in 2002, a Jirga ordered the gang rape of a 28-year-old woman after her 12-year-old brother was accused of having an affair with an older woman. Wasn't accused of rape, but having an affair. And so they took the sister and had her gang raped. Now, in this newest instance in Pakistan, the brother who raped a woman then had his sister turned over to be raped by the brother of the victim. And I said, how does this strike you, feminist? Most of you who vote Democrat, when your party virtue signals about Sharia law. Remember, we had Sharia Khan there on the podium with Hillary Clinton at the DNC when she was accepting the nomination and so forth. But how does this strike you as unjust? I mean, it certainly should, right? Doesn't this make you angry that a woman would be raped because of the crimes of her brother, the rapist? But how is this different, as I said, from killing an innocent baby because its father was a rapist? That's what you feminists who support abortion are doing. Let's take a look at some more hypocrisy here. This one from Al Sharpton. You've probably seen the headlines. His brother was charged in a shooting murder one day after the anti-gun march. That's right. Al Sharpton's brother involved in a murder one day after the anti-gun march. Kenneth Glasgow is a 52-year-old half-brother of Al Sharpton, suspected of being the driver of a vehicle linked to the Sunday murder of a 23-year-old. The shooting suspect is Jamie Towns, a 26-year-old passenger who was in the car. Both Glasgow and Towns sought out Jennings because they believe she had stolen Towns' vehicle. When they finally caught up to her, police believe Towns shot Jennings in the head. The woman was later found dead in a wrecked car late Sunday evening. So here you are. Here's the civil rights pimp, Al Sharpton, out there, and his brother. And there's his brother right there mugging it up with Hillary Clinton, just like she was Sharia Khan. Absolutely amazing. And then you got Kamala Harris saying that March for Our Lives is like the civil rights movement. She may be more right about that than she realizes. It's just, these guys are just, David Hogg is another Al Sharpton. And so is Emma Gonzalez and the rest of these people. And it is not marching for civil rights or civil liberty. It's exactly the reverse of that. It is marching to take away our civil rights, to take away our liberties. That's what this really is about, Kamala Harris. Lindsey Graham, as I said before, even a broken clock is right once or twice a day. And Lindsey Graham is right on this issue. So let's give him his moment in the sun. You'll very rarely hear me agree with anything that Lindsey Graham has to say. But I thought he had a good point in this clip that we have here where he was on, let's see, he was on Fox News Channel's The Story. Here's Lindsey Graham.
One, don't run for Senate in South Carolina. I'm up here to defend the Second Amendment rights of my citizens, my constituents, not take them away. I hope every Democrat will be asked what you asked me. Is it a good idea to repeal the Second Amendment? Because I want every Democrat to answer that question. This is a very bad idea. I'm glad he's retired. He has right to his opinion like every other American. But I'm up here to protect the Second Amendment, not repeal it. And I can't wait to hear what Nancy Pelosi says and every other liberal Democrat. See if they will stand with Justice Stevens or they'll stand with the Constitution. I'm dying to know.
We'll see.
That's right. I think that'd be great. I think everybody ought to ask these Democrats, do you want to repeal the Second Amendment? Of course, they'll say no. They understand, and many of them, as I pointed out in the first hour, Washington Post, a lot of these reporters are saying, this is, shut up. Don't tell them that we want to take away the Second Amendment, that we want to take all the guns. Don't tell them that. Tell them that we're not going to confiscate their guns. We're just going to seize their guns. How that? That works. Okay, that'll work. And don't put a gag on this guy, Stevens. Don't let him give away the plan. While they come out and say we want background checks on ammunition, that's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They've already got a list of so-called assault weapons that they want to get rid of. They don't have a definition for it, but they want to get rid of them. Any weapon that scares them. But, of course, Justice Stevens didn't even go there. He said, we've got to ban all private ownership of semi-automatic weapons. Oh, yay, that's everything. That's everything, folks. Now you're back to muzzle loaders, or you cock the hammer and then pull manually and then pull the trigger. I mean, you go back to, like, maybe what, mid-1800s, a pistol back then? And we're going to have weapons that they had in the Civil War. Revolutionary War, because they don't want any kind of rough parity in terms of power. But look at the rest of these. Here's another one of hypocrisy here. We've got David Hogg, who in his desperate attempts to discredit Alex Jones, sides with Monsanto. And this is a Natural News article from Mike Adams. He claims that atrazine herbicide doesn't interfere with your hormones. Oh, that's right. What David Hogg said. For example, on InfoWars, one of his most famous statements is saying that tap water turns frogs gay and will turn you gay too. Well, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the chemical contaminants in the water supply. And we have reported, when we say this, we're reporting what the so-called trusted mainstream media is saying. We say, look at this. We have all these pesticides that are not getting filtered out. It's kind of accumulating, and all of the drugs that people are taking and putting in the septic system and the public water supply, it keeps getting recycled, and we're not filtering out these contaminants, so they are increasing, and it is making the shrimp more aggressive, or it's changing the sexuality, modifying the hormones of fish and of frogs. That's what we're talking about. And so they create a straw man, the gay frogs. And as Mike Adams points out, atrazine is one of the world's most widely used pesticides. It wreaks havoc with the sex lives of adult male frogs, emasculating 3/4 of them, turning 1 in 10 into females, according to a new study by the University of California, Berkeley biologist. We're quoting University of Berkeley. Maybe this is why David Hogg can't get accepted there. Even in spite of the fact that he was in an AP environmental science class, they didn't teach him about the real environmental hazards. They've got them going around chasing unicorn farts that are supposedly going to burn the planet down. They're not paying any attention to atrazine, of course, or to what Monsanto is doing. No, no, don't look at the real pollution out there. Look at our imaginary unicorn farts that are coming out of our automobiles and our factories. The 75%, they say, that are chemically castrated are essentially dead because of their inability to reproduce in the wild, reports University of California Berkeley's Tyrone B. Hayes. How about that? Aren't they an established authority? You're going to make fun of them as well, David, because they didn't accept you? And, you know, the Daily Mail talked about this, the fact that David Hogg revealed that he had been rejected from 4 schools that he had applied to, UCLA, UCSD, UCSB, and UC Irvine. And then this is the most amazing. I don't find that amazing. What I find amazing is that the Daily Mail contacted these universities and said, why aren't you going to let him in? Seriously? Is there no limit to what the mainstream media will do for this guy? None of the schools responded to DailyMail.com's request for an explanation as to why he and another student were rejected from being accepted into those universities. Seriously. Seriously. Well, to give you an idea of gun control, as we pointed out, when we come back, we're going to talk about this a little bit, but we've got some other issues. Yeah, we got multiple cases of police shooting unarmed individuals. In many of these cases, they're black. And we have people who are coming to the verge of rioting in city council meetings. And they are justified for being angry. Gun control is not what we need. We need control of our government, which is out of control. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We got one more segment, and I've got several different topics I want to cover here, but I also need to tell you about the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what supports this program, and we have many products there right now that are on deep discount. Things like CellForce, Real Red Pill, 50% off. We also have BrainForce, 50% off. Our new formulation of Myco ZX to help your body fight toxins. I was just talking about some of the toxins that you find. Atrazine. One of the most popular chemicals that you're going to find. Of course, you can get things like a good water filter that we also sell at InfoWarsStore.com. It's going to take out a lot of the pollution that you'll find in your public drinking water, or even if you're on a well. A lot of this agricultural pesticide is going to find its way even more so, maybe, into your water, even if you've got your own well. So take control of your health and your family's health and take advantage of these specials that we have. Well, we've got these products that are 50% off and Super Blue Silver Immune Gargle with Nano Silver. Now 33% off of that new product. That's good not only for oral use, but also for your hands. Nano Silver is very effective as an antibacterial agent also to fight virus. So take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what keeps us free and independent. Bringing you information and bringing you products that are going to allow you to take control of your health. Let's talk a little bit about some of these shootings. There's been a real troublesome number of unjustified shootings in the last couple of days. And this is one of the problems with the NRA that has cost them the support of a lot of black people. When they look at the situation with Philando Castile, a guy who was executed, even though he wasn't doing anything, he was pulled over. He had the police officer said, do you have a gun? Yeah, I've got a gun, but I've got a permit. Let me give him. And we saw it on video. The NRA was silent about that. The NRA likes to curry favor with the police. So they have to pretend like sycophants that the police never make any mistakes. No, there are bad police out there. There's good police out there as well. Look at the contrast that we had at the schools in just a couple of weeks. We had the cowards of Broward County. But even at that event, you had one department there where they wouldn't send anybody in. As a matter of fact, they told them, don't go in. Then you had some other people who were training in a SWAT exercise. They went over there to do something, and they were punished, these other police officers, for going in and trying to save lives. Then you had the police department from another jurisdiction come in. They were the ones who went in and helped people. So in that one incident, you can see three different groups in the way that the police handled this. They're not always right, but they're also not always wrong either. Let's be adults about this. Let's not be sycophants to anybody. And then we had the shooting a couple of weeks after that, where the police officer came in. As soon as he heard the shooting, he came in and he stopped the individual. It was not possible to stop the murder of that young girl, but she could have been killed with a knife in a sneak attack. She could have been hit in the head with a baseball bat. It wasn't about the gun. But you had a good guy with a gun, a police officer who did his job, who stopped that from getting any worse. But when we have these bad police departments like Broward County or these other police departments I want to talk about, because they're not punished, because there's no controls on them, then we have this get out of control. And so you have the situation in Dallas where you had the police officers murdered for no reason. These are police officers who had not done anything to anybody. But this broad hatred and stereotyping caused them to be murdered. So now in Dallas, they have a mural that has been put up there to honor the fallen officers. That's been taken down by the city council. They said, oh, we don't want this up. So they came up with a bogus code violation to take that down. That's shameful. But here's what's also shameful. What happened in Sacramento? You got the brother of Stephen Clark interrupting the Sacramento council meeting, takes a microphone to attack the Sacramento cops who shot dead his unarmed sibling. His unarmed sibling. Another one. No charges for cops who shot and killed Alton Sterling. In 2016, this is in Baton Rouge, he was killed by police as he sold CDs in front of a convenience store. Now, 2 years later, it's just been announced that the two officers responsible for his death will not be charged. The ruling comes a year after the Justice Department ruled out federal charges as well. They said they didn't find anything, said his aunt through tears. They said it was justifiable. They said that what happened to Alton was justifiable. How'd they justify it? Well, they said he was in noncompliance. Noncompliance justifies your execution. May justify your arrest. It may justify them getting rough with you and beating you up and putting you in handcuffs, but it doesn't justify your execution. Police released dash cam of a cop killing an unarmed man with his pants around his ankles. This just happened. Houston, Texas, last Thursday. Harris County Sheriff's deputy pulled up to an intersection where a mentally ill man was causing a scene, walking around with his pants around his ankles. Just within 30 seconds of arriving on the scene, Deputy Cameron Brewer exited his car and summarily executed 34-year-old Danny Ray Thomas. Witnesses said that Thomas was walking in the middle of the intersection of Imperial Valley and Greens Road with his pants around his ankles, talking to himself and hitting vehicles as they passed by. Police claimed that he had an object in his hand. However, there is dash cam footage, and it shows no object in his hand. And then finally this. The people who want to prohibit weapons, the people who have told us, well, we have drug-free schools. Let's have gun-free schools. And, of course, the schools are not drug-free. And you will never make them gun-free. And if you want to do gun prohibition, it's going to go the same way that alcohol prohibition and the illegal, unconstitutional war on drugs has gone. Take a look at this. Free Thought Project points out cops caught running a black market gun trade. You don't think you're going to have a black market on guns if you prohibit guns? It's going to be far worse, far more dangerous and violent than anything we have right now. It's going to be more violent than drugs because the stock and trade is going to be guns. And just as we saw with alcohol prohibition, when they prohibited it, they created more the black market people, the criminals, created more intense forms of alcohol. They created wood alcohol that made some people go blind. We've seen the same thing happen with drugs. They created drugs that harmed people. They created synthetic, intensified versions even of marijuana. They created things like meth. What do you think is going to happen with firearms? What kind of firearms are going to be created by these people who have absolutely no moral or legal constraints on them? Two police officers have been indicted by a federal grand jury after they were caught illegally selling more than 100 firearms that the department deemed to be unsafe for the public, all while using their badges in an attempt to cover up their crimes. Badges? I don't need no stinking badges. I can sell whatever I want, right? This is the corruption that comes of prohibition. This took place between 2015 and 2017. Several of the buyers were convicted felons that they sold these guns to, these cops. The men were able to purchase off-roster firearms that are supposed to be reserved for the police or military because of their status as police officers. And the officers made no attempt to hide the fact that they were selling these firearms. They even used Instagram to advertise their illegal activities. What do you think is going to happen when you prohibit firearms? Just think about that, liberals. All right, let's talk about immigration real quickly. We got Mitt Romney now running to the right of President Trump. Why would he do that? Well, he may have noticed these polls of swing voters that say that immigration is more important to them than tax cuts in the midterm elections. This is a big issue. This was the issue that gave President Trump traction as a candidate. This was the core issue that President Trump got elected on. And it is the big issue that he has not delivered on. He has allowed himself to be intimidated by federal judges. He has allowed himself to be blocked by Congress. And he doesn't need to do that. We got Mitt Romney coming out and saying the DACA kids shouldn't be allowed to stay legally. And he's absolutely right on that. Why is President Trump pandering to these DACA kids? There's no such thing as dreamers. That is a term that was invented by the Democrats. They never passed a DREAM Act. There is no law called the DREAM Act. It's been proposed several times, but it never got passed. Why is President Trump continuing to defer action on these foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing here and being educated at the expense of American taxpayers, at the expense of their American dream for a better home or a better apartment? Why are they being protected? Romney says, oh, I'm a hawk. Yeah, he's a newfound hawk on this. I don't believe this, but at least he's saying what needs to be done. President Trump ought to look at this. He says, I'm even more of a hawk on immigration than even the president. My view was that these DACA kids shouldn't be allowed to stay in the country legally. He said the people who have received the special treatment that the president's put in place, which is a two-year visa, should expect that that visa will continue to be valid. But, of course, in his introductory campaign, he had said, Utah welcomes legal immigrants from around the world, and Washington sends immigrants a message of exclusion. See, he speaks out of both sides of his mouth, but that is an issue that people want to see. And it may be something that President Trump is starting to realize that he can build the wall out of the military budget. People push back on this. I had somebody, I tweeted that out, a guy said, well, you can't take money that's been approved for airplanes and submarines and so forth and trade that over to a wall. I said, why not? And take it out of the border security for these foreign countries. Remember when Rand Paul put that out? Oh, here it is on page 376. Look, we got border security. Oh, wait, that's for this foreign country, that foreign country, that foreign country, that foreign country, but nothing for our border. If that's the kind of BS they're going to put in there, it's about time President Trump and you start calling them on it. You start a grassroots campaign saying, defend the borders or shut down the Defense Department because they have left us defenseless. If you can't take money out of the rich Defense Department, as President Trump tweeted, then what good is it for? That's our program for today. Thank you for listening.